Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Welcome back to another episode of CAF Chats. I am Major Alex Ultimus, and today I am joined by Major Cece Bernstein.
Happy to be here, Alex.
Today we're diving into the case of United States versus Gonzalez, Lieutenant Colonel type. This case raises intriguing questions about fair notice and the application of Article 133, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. We're going to get into it. So we're going to start with the procedural history and facts. Colonel Gonzalez faced a contested panel trial and was convicted of conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman under Article 133 UCMJ. The panel sentenced him to a reprimand. The crux of the misconduct involved the appellant kissing a junior enlisted naval trainee. The facts in this case are relevant because of the court's discussion of fair notice, including whether the gravamen of the misconduct was fraternization or extramarital sexual conduct. Cece, why don't you tell us the facts in this case?
Absolutely. Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez, an active-duty Army officer who was in San Antonio, Texas, coming up on his retirement, went to a bar with friends. While at a bar, he struck up a conversation with a group of junior enlisted sailors, including a Navy seaman recruit identified as SRJT. When he asked what she did for a living, she jokingly responded, "I'm a stripper."
So did he know she was a seaman recruit? And in the Navy, that's an E1 rank, correct?
Yes. After Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez told her he was a lieutenant colonel and showed her his CAC to prove it, she informed him that she wasn't a stripper, but rather an enlisted sailor in training, and yes, specifically, that she was an E1.
So it's pretty clear that the rank difference and her trainee status were known to all parties at the beginning of this interaction. What happened next?
There were drinks, conversation, and some flirting. Colonel Gonzalez and his friends invited SRJT and another sailor to a second bar. While there, photographs were taken of the group. In one of those photos, Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez and SRJT pose, kissing each other on the lips. At trial, SRJT testified it was a long, extended kiss for the photo to be taken, though there was no tongue involved. She specified that it wasn't a makeout session.
And that kiss is what becomes the basis for the charge being reviewed by CAF. How did the case proceed from there?
Colonel Gonzalez was charged with two specifications of Article 133, but only one specification is pertinent to our discussion today, that he engaged in conduct unbecoming an officer and gentleman, to wit, while knowing that seaman recruit JT was a junior enlisted trainee and a woman who was not his wife, he kissed her cheek and lips. The panel only found appellant guilty of kissing seaman recruit JT on the lips. The Army Court of Criminal Appeals affirmed the finding and sentence.
CAF granted on the following issue. Whether appellant had fair notice that the portions of Specification 2 of the charge alleging an Article 133 violation for an extramarital kiss constituted conduct that was forbidden and subject to criminal sanction.
Right. And it's important to note the standard of review here. In their analysis, CAF reviewed the issue of fair notice for plain error because it was the first time the issue was considered on appeal. On plain error review, the court must determine whether, one, there was error, two, the error was plain or obvious, and three, the error materially prejudiced a substantial right of the appellant. The failure to establish any of the three prongs is fatal to a plain error claim. As a starting point, due process requires every defendant to receive fair notice that an act is forbidden. Such notice is required before a person can be prosecuted for committing the forbidden act. Here, a married officer kissing an enlisted member. The question here was whether the statute clearly indicated that Gonzalez's conduct was criminal at the time. Fair notice may be provided through federal or state law, military case law, military customs, and military regulations.
And turning to the issue of whether Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez had fair notice of whether kissing a junior enlisted trainee constituted conduct unbecoming an officer, CAF provided an overview of what conduct is considered unbecoming. They referenced precedents like Teeter and Lofton, which emphasize that military officers are held to stricter standards, and that the gravamen of conduct unbecoming is dishonor to the military profession that undermines the officer's ability to command their subordinates. In reviewing whether conduct is unbecoming, the course must consider the surrounding circumstances and whether a reasonable military officer would believe their conduct constituted a crime. With this background in mind, the CAF determined that fraternization could indeed constitute conduct unbecoming, supported by the Manual for Courts Martial, Army Regulations, and Military Custom. Even though kissing isn't explicitly listed, it clearly shows undue familiarity. They first look at what constitutes the gravamen of the offense. What was Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez's main argument on appeal, CC?
He argued that the government was prohibited from creating a novel Article 133 specification to criminalize a kiss that would not meet the definition of prohibited extramarital sexual conduct under Article 134. He argued that the case was tried and argued as an adultery case, and that there was nothing to put him on notice that kissing was punishable as extramarital sexual conduct.
And how did CAF respond to that theory?
The court completely rejected the premise. First, the parties at trial, including the TDS counsel, characterized the misconduct as fraternization and not extramarital sexual conduct. The CAF looked at the record of trial and noted that the military judge sought clarification on this issue, and the specification said that while knowing that Seaman Recruit JT was a junior enlisted trainee, highlighting the knowledge of their respective ranks. During instructions, the parties told the judge they agreed that fraternization was the most analogous offense and provided the maximum punishment for fraternization as the maximum punishment for the charged offense.
Taking all of that into consideration,
the novelty argument fails because Article 133 includes acts made punishable by any other article, provided these acts amount to conduct unbecoming. In other words, Article 133 is not subject to preemption.
And while Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez did not argue, or his defense appellate defense counsel did not argue actually preemption, that seems to be what he's getting at by saying they created this novel offense because they couldn't prove the kiss met the definition of extramarital sexual conduct. And as it's important for the field to know, a 133 cannot be preempted by a 134 as long as it meets that conduct unbecoming of an officer and a gentleman. And so taking all of that into consideration, the CAF concludes that the gravamen of the charged conduct was, in fact, fraternization. The CAF then considers whether Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez had fair notice that fraternization could constitute conduct unbecoming an officer. What did the CAF consider in determining whether Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez had fair notice?
Fair notice requires that the law makes it reasonably clear that the conduct is criminal. One aspect of their consideration was the fact that appellant conceded that he had fair notice that fraternization was a criminal offense. CAF identified three additional sources that provided fair notice to Colonel Gonzalez. First, the Manual for Courts Martial, which lists fraternization as an enumerated offense under Article 134. Second, Army regulations, specifically AR-600-20, strictly prohibits relationships that create a clearly predictable perception of undue familiarity between officers and enlisted personnel.
And while this case began in 2021 and was under the 2019 MCM, the provision is still in AR-600-35, is that right?
Yes, substantially the same as it was in 600-20. Thank you for that clarification.
And while kissing is not specifically listed in the regulation, it is interaction that clearly shows undue familiarity. And what's the third source of fair notice?
Well, finally, the CAF analyzes military case law that makes it even clearer that kissing an enlisted trainee constitutes conduct unbecoming an officer. Their analysis begins way back in the Roman military and their prohibition of improper relationships between service members of different ranks. This prohibition continued forward to the American military and has been a custom of our military service now for hundreds of years.
The CAF rounds out its analysis by looking at Article 133 in its discussion. Specifically, they mentioned the discussion section that states Article 133 offenses includes acts made punishable by any other article, as you stated, CC. The court concedes that there may be instances during which a defendant may not be on fair notice that their conduct might be inappropriate. However, it concludes that the conduct of a married lieutenant colonel on the brink of his retirement, kissing a junior enlisted service member, was not such an instance. So what was the final holding?
CAF held that any reasonable officer would have no doubt that fraternizing with a junior enlisted trainee by kissing her on the lips can be sanctioned as conduct unbecoming an officer in violation of Article 133. They found no error, plain or otherwise, and affirmed the conviction and the ACCA decision.
So what are some of the big takeaways for our listeners in the field?
For government counsel, charging under 133 is not subject to preemption. So any other offense under the UCMJ can also fall under conduct unbecoming, but it's important to be clear and consistent about what the charging theory is. And I think it's also important not to add that extra burden. Don't include elements that you don't have to prove in order to get the charge on the charge sheet.
So I think you're alluding to the fact that they put in that Colonel Gonzalez was married to a person and this seaman was not his wife. And it seems they were doing that as an aggravator, but was it necessary?
Definitely not. They absolutely got conduct unbecoming of an officer out of just the kiss and the fact that she was an enlisted trainee. They did not have to add that confusing other element that referenced extramarital sexual conduct.
And I think we can see the confusion where the fact that the judge has to ask, and I think they would do that in any Article 133 specification, but making sure that all the parties are clear that the most analogous offense or the gravamen of the offense is fraternization. So what else for defense counsel?
So for listeners from the defense bar on that same topic, it's a reminder to hold the government to their theory. As pointed as this decision was, we are left to wonder if it would have been decided different, if defense would have asked for a bill of particulars or objected to instructions analogous to fraternization, where even the judge had to clarify. So if there was any confusion, defense needed to bring it up at trial in order to preserve that issue for appeal.
And I think that's one of my takeaways, CC. If a military judge questions an analogous offense in Article 133 cases, your response could have appellate consequences. And I say that as the trial defense counsel for this case affirmed and essentially agreed with the government and the judge that this was fraternization. And then to turn around on appeal and argue for the first time that everyone was operating under the understanding that it was extramarital sexual conduct or adultery, there's no evidence to support that confusion when you agree with the judge on instructions. And so giving that power to defense counsel in the field to object or to put your understanding on the record to then save that for an appellate issue in the future. I also think it's important, CAF reiterated, as it did in Rocha, podcast coming soon, that your notice can come from a wide array of sources, not just the manual for courts martial. We're looking at what the Roman military did in terms of understanding whether or not you're on notice. And if we remember in Rocha, they said anyone of ordinary intelligence, right? A lieutenant colonel on the brink of retirement should, based on regulation, manual for courts martial, service in the military, customs and courtesies, that kissing a junior enlisted trainee, not only in private, but in public on photo, is clearly conduct unbecoming and kind of fails on that head in the sand, no notice defense that it seems that Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez's team put on at CAF. Any final thoughts, CC?
Yeah, and I would also add, even though Article 133 is a little bit different than Rocha because it is conduct unbecoming of an officer, and that standard does include an officer of experience, like you stated, Colonel Gonzalez was a lieutenant colonel on the brink of retirement. We've got a trainee enlistee and all of those elements, not just the actual conduct, but the circumstances that they look at, too. They're at a bar, they're drinking, they've gone to multiple bars together, there's flirting. There's all of the things that make this very ripe for punishment. And a lot of notice comes from, as they said, not only the written resources, but our common understanding and expectations of our officers in the armed forces.
Absolutely. And we can even double down on what that seaman said on the stand. She was flattered and she was so shocked that someone of his rank and stature would talk to her. Mm-hmm. And if that is not the definition of undue familiarity, I don't know what is.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, CC, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That will do it for another episode of CAF Chats. We will see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General's Corps, the Department of the Army, or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. And the court will stand in recess until further order of the court.